also, as of late, has been speaking to my heart, because every year I try to project how my next year is going to be. You know, I'm a pragmatic fellow. You know that. Usually at the end of every quarter, I'm pulling out my goals. Some of you can rehearse it in three areas: personal, spiritual, and family. And I write down three goals in each, and then I draw a baseline and become below line, go below line and start filling in how we're going to accomplish those goals. And then I'll pray over them, I'll lay them on the altar, and then once a quarter I'll pull them out to see how Vincent is doing. Your goals are only as good as the paper you write on. They may not even be God's goals. And the mere fact that you claim to be who you say you are doesn't mean God has to rubber stamp your goals.
That's right.
He's not a cosmic bellboy to bless you to get wealthy. So I want you to understand, this message this morning is your New Year's message, but it ain't about you. Aren't you about done with you? No, seriously, I'm kind of done with me. I didn't run out of stuff to do. Then there is a lot of unfinished business. I got New Year's resolutions from the 70s I haven't even finished. Goes to show you how much stock you can put in your ability to make things better. This book has been agitating me. Started last quarter when I was trying to look at what direction we would take the church. And then I looked out there and I saw somebody put on the sign out there, Jesus Mattered. I don't know who came up with that idea, but I actually looked at what I thought about. Sometimes you write stuff, now you need to look at it. What you going to do in 2016? Jesus matters. My name is nowhere up there. Your name is nowhere up there. Paul writes from prison. And it's not about Paul matters. It's about Jesus. In prison, what would cause you in the midst of your incarceration to not reflect upon your freedom but on the lives of others? Can't nobody do that but Jesus. In each of these four chapters, y'all got a quick minute? I'm just laying the foundation. In each of the four chapters, you get a feel. Paul lays out his feelings. You want to get a feel for somebody, sit down and talk with them. Past 3 minutes, because the first 3 minutes is going to be inundated with high top, high end stuff about them. Usually about 3 minutes, they're winded and ain't nothing left to say. And so they're sitting there going, well, you want to go eat? No substance, because most of us really don't sit down long enough, and we're not still long enough to see beyond what we just did 5 minutes ago. Stop and ask the average man, who is he? He'll tell you where he works. That's not what I asked you. Who are you? Well, I work for Ford. We are on the front line of new technology. As a matter of fact, I'm working on the 2018 Mustang, and you ought to see it. And it's amazing how our energies get heightened when men are involved in doing something. But you're working on mortar and straw. Beyond what we do, there is nothing. Paul writes to a church, and he doesn't talk about his religious pedigree. He doesn't remind them about his heritage and about what he did. He's concerned about them. Look at chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, I'm in prison, and listen, and guess what? I'm okay with it. Hey, I'm in prison, incarcerated in these chains, and these are the words he uses. I'm in chains because of the cross, and I'm okay with it. And I'm using my incarceration, not the incarceration in the sense, but I'm using the cross in my incarceration to liberate people. So while in prison, I'm liberating folk. As a matter of fact, I've gotten free rein to share the good news. And I know there are those who are preaching the cross for ulterior motives. Paul says, I'm fully aware of that. Some are preaching the cross thinking that they're adding bonds to these chains I'm in. They're thinking that by preaching Christ, they're making it hard for me, but I beg to differ.
Some men have ulterior motives. Others preach it for personal reasons. But Paul says, I glory in the fact that the cross is preached. And by the way, as a matter of fact, people are getting saved. Y'all do remember the Philippian jailer. Yeah, Paul and Silas were responsible for that. They put him in prison, but God let him out. And in letting him out, he saved a soul. Sometimes it's not where you are, it's who you are where you are. But we got to find meaning in places, don't we? If I can get to the right place. No, wherever you are, you're going to be who you are. And hopefully there's 3 more minutes of you left somewhere to help somebody see something beyond yourself. Paul says, for to me. Me? For to me to live is Christ. That's not prison language. That's not incarcerating language. And to die is gain. Paul says, as a matter of fact, the problem I'm having, none of y'all don't have. I'm torn between 2 things. I don't know whether to go or stay. And look, he's giving this some thought. You know, if I hang around here, it'll be to your benefit. But if I leave here, it'll be great. So for me to live is Christ and to die, I'm in a win-win situation. I can't even lose. I'm in jail, I win. To let me out, I win. Paul says, you know what? Because you need me. I'm going to stick around for your benefit. That's not jailhouse talk. That ain't what folks say in jail. They're trying to get out. They're trying to El Chapo their way out of there. You understand me? They're trying to hire a lawyer. They're trying to get out. They're trying to wiggle out. They're trying to beat the system. Paul ain't trying to beat the system. You know why? He's already won. So he says, I'd like to go. And really, he says, to be with the Lord is much better. Well, why don't you choose what's much better? No, it says, I better do what's best. Well, we would like to do what's much better. Paul says, no, I'll settle for what's best. And what best is for me to hang out so I can help you. You know, I kind of want to close my Bible and say, Paul, I'm done. But he says, no, Vincent, keep reading, because in Philippians 2, 3 through 5, he says, in the course of all of this, have the right attitude. Have humility with the right attitude. He called this the mind of Christ. He's in prison talking about, I'm going to stay here for your good, and while I'm here, I'll put my prison life in perspective. I'll accept it with humility. And I will embrace the mind of Christ. And then there is a warning in chapter 3. There are, in every group, you will have some challenges. And Paul didn't bite the bullet on what he said. Chapter 3, verse 1, beware the dogs. Yeah, is that in your Bible? It's in the Bible. Beware of the dogs. I was going to entitle this sermon, The Dog in Y'all. I mean, the dog in me. But it wouldn't have been theologically appropriate, and Sister Hawkins is not privy to my Texas etiquette, so I figured I'd better do the California thing and just leave that alone. I say those dogs for my dogs. But they were men who had risen to the level of the know. They were literally, we believe, Judaizers who hadn't crept in but probably were already there. They had been, you know, converted into Christianity, but they were holding on to their, you know, Judaistic ways, their traditions and their laws. And what they were advocating in Philippi to these Gentile Christians is that, you know, if y'all really want to be legitimate Christians, get circumcised, you know. And Paul says, you know, I would that they would emasculate, it's in your Bible. Have y'all read that? That they would emasculate themselves. That's what he's saying. And then he says they were bragging. They used circumcision as a rites of passage to say, I'm in and you're not. Circumcision, really? Paul says, if anybody could brag, it's me. If anybody could be braggadocious, me. Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Israel, Benjamite, circumcised the 8th day concerning the law, blameless. speaker said that in prison, I dropped a mic and walked off. What do you bring to the table? He could have did that. But then he said something even more amazing. I wanted to leave in chapter 1, but chapter 2 exposed me. And then chapter 3, Paul says, I gave all that up. Matter of fact, before he says I gave it up, I counted it as dung. Animal dung. Some scholars suggest human excrement. Paul says it's rubbish. It's a pile of rubbish. In other words, it means nothing. Wait a minute, Paul. You mean to tell me you're giving up your religious heritage? Wow. That defined you in the Jewish system, that set you up to be a part of the Sanhedrin? You're going to give up power and prestige for who? We would never do that in America. Have you lost your mind? Now we see why you incarcerated.
Right.
What Paul understands and you and I don't. Wow. You are free and you're incarcerated. He's incarcerated, but he's free. Amen. You better think about this. The fact that you're free, that don't mean a whole lot if your freedom is not being used for the cause of Christ.
Right. Amen.
So look what he says. I gave it all up that I might, verse 10, that I might know him.
Wow.
I gave up the pursuit of higher learning.
Wow.
That I might know him. I turned down the position at the table with the Sanhedrin. That I might know him. I gave up elevation by my friends. I denounced position and power that I might know him. I got a question. Who in the world is him that would make you do that? And I concluded in 2016, I want to get to know him. Don't bring me another game. Don't bring me another agenda. Bring me him. Because most of us are like Paul. You got status, you got money, got a good rep. So you have a new walk, you walk around inflated. Amen. Not gaseous, but inflated. Inflated. Ego is inflated. Head swollen. Because of your portfolio. You look good on paper. You really do. I mean, can't nobody deny. You look wonderful. But you're spiritually bankrupt.
My Lord Jesus.
Reason being because you've been laying up treasure on earth and not in heaven.
Yeah.
And did not Jesus say, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? See, you see why this letter agitates? Because Paul says, now, Vincent, bring your credentials. Oh, I know what you think about your little resume. I read it. But you ain't a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, Paul says, I'm blameless. I can't say that about nothing. You know, and that circumcision thing, well, I did that on the eighth day. But it wasn't for religious reasons. It was for hygienic reasons. But then Paul says, I gave all mine up. Would you give up your education? Would you give up your position? Would you deny that you've donned the universities for the reasons of personal glorification?
Wow.
Would you give that up? Paul says, I gave it up. Wow. And watch this, verse 10, that I might know. The Greek word there, know, is two ideas. It really comes from the word gnosis, originated really with the knowledge of the first century. They were those who claimed to have superior knowledge. In other words, they knew more than everybody. Did you know folk like that? You can't tell them Nathan because they know everything, and so you just leave them alone. You mentioned, yeah, but wanted to have a discussion. All they talk about is me, and I.
Right.
You know, it's like you get nauseated. And then sometimes you're sitting alone with yourself, and you start talking about yourself. You should get nauseated.
Yeah.
Paul says, I want to know him. And three things, and that ain't even my sermon. I'm getting to my text. I'm just laying the foundation. Paul says, I want to know him. First of all, I want to know him. And the Greek word here has to do with not just knowledge about, not theory, but practicum.
Yeah.
He's talking about experience. And look what he says. I want to know him, and then he identifies three things. And the power He's talking about the resurrected life. This is Romans 6 stuff. If you've been baptized, buried with him, then you should rise to walk high. That's what Paul's talking about. I want to experience resurrected living while in prison. And I know he's experiencing it. Because you don't write this kind of letter from behind bars. He doesn't say, tell my mama hi, or tell my first cousin to bring me some cookies. None of that. Not asking for clean linen. He's not asking for playing cards. He ain't asking for Wrigley's chewing gum. He's none of that. I want to know him. And you would think you would stop. He says, no, that ain't it. I also want to know the fellowship of his suffering. Greek word koinonia suggests that he wants to participate in like sufferings. And no wonder Paul would tell the church, I was left for dead outside of Lystra. Derby, they stoned me. They thought I was dead, but God got me up. They stoned me because I preached Christ. Got on me because I stood for Jesus. They left me dead, but God got me up. Paul says, I want to participate in his sufferings. And then third thing he says, I want to be conformed. He didn't say to his image, to his death. Look what Paul is saying. I want to die so that I might ascertain to the resurrection. He's talking about the parousia, the second coming. Paul says, that's what I want to do. I don't have time, but then when you get to the next section, he says, well, brethren, you know, I'm being spiritually lofty in what I want, but I got to tell you, I haven't attained it. I haven't arrived yet, but tell you what I'm doing. I'm forgetting that which is behind me, and I keep reaching for that which is before me, and I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in God through Christ Jesus. Look at his lofty goals, the high calling. Look, this ain't even about coming back to Bible class. This ain't about Bible class. This is about a high calling. When you get the high calling, whenever you get the call, you're gone. But some of us ain't got no calling, let alone the high calling. That's why you got to baffle. You got to waffle and wobble and wibble and wabble, whatever you do between Bible class and bowling. What's the problem? You ain't got the high calling. You ain't pressing. You ain't reaching. Your 3 minutes is up. And that's all you got in there. And then I quit. Then I gave him a little lesson. You think he would be done. But he gets to chapter 4. And he says to them about verse 10, 11, and 12, you know, I'm kind of all right. I'm good. Because I've learned some stuff. I've learned in whatever state that I find myself, I'm all right with it. Wait a minute, Paul, you're in prison. Yeah, I'm behind these bars, but I ain't incarcerated. The same God that got me out the first time, he can get me out again. I was in prison with Paul and Silas. I was there. And then we went to praying about midnight. We got some praise songs and went to praising God. And the book says, and God shook the ground. You know, when you go through something, start praying and praising. When they come after you, just start praising. When you're down and out, just start praising God. Start thanking him. When they got to praising, God got to work. Shook the ground. Book says the doors, not listen of every door in the prison, open. He opened all the doors. And everybody else was scared to come out because they didn't heed the high calling. Paul and Silas knew. Matter of fact, they probably made a jailbreak. And it's interesting because the Bible says the Roman swords, the Roman centurions were afraid because they knew. You know, they could probably let the other guys out, but they can't let Paul and Silas out. So I don't know if they even checked the other cells. They ran straight to Paul and Silas. And the book says they were there, and then Paul says, hey, don't do yourself no harm. We ain't going nowhere. You can't lock a preacher up. You can't throw away the key. My God can rattle.
can rattle this place. Look at when they got through, that man said, baptize me. I need to know your God. Well, that's not.
That
ain't even my lesson. Y'all got a few minutes? It's time to go, but y'all got a few. Can I share something with you? Go back to chapter 1. My sermon this morning is entitled, To Live. That's the topic. It's in your bulletin. To live. Three ideas. To live is meaningful. Number two, it's missional. And number three, it's monumental. Paul says, for me, to live is Christ. Paul said that you didn't and I didn't. But if you had your turn and you got it this morning, what would you say? That's what Bible class was about this morning in the upper room with the men. What would you fill in the blanks? For me to live is what? And don't lie.
Yeah, talk up.
Because we're good at that.
I
love to tell you, for me to live is Christ, but you know, and I know. And God knows that I know that you know that I'm lying. That my life really ain't about Christ.
Right.
Am I the only one?
No.
Who in here, would dare stand up in the house of God and declare unequivocally that for you it's really about Christ? And then to look back at what you did for him this past year would expose your lie. Anybody with me? So I'm your preacher, and I ain't going there. You know why? Because I know what can go down in churches where folk go to messing up real bad. I read the book of Acts. I read about two folk that told a lie to the Holy Spirit in church. I ain't doing that. No. So I decided to let you hang out with that before you start fulfilling your New Year's resolutions. Better know what you're putting in there. Are you listening to me? So Paul says, for me, I thought about that. Can Vincent say, for me to live is Christ? So I said, I share three things with you and I let you alone. Number one, to live is meaningful. You know, you can't appreciate life until you understand how you got here.
Yeah.
And number two, why you here. Some of us grown folks still don't even know why we're here. You ever wonder why you keep going through these fads?
Yeah.
You're searching for yourself. And when you get 50, you need to be knowing. You really need to be coming into who you gonna be, or who you is. Sorry, Sister Hawkins, between 30 and 40. About 40, something ought to click. And then you begin to see things through some healthier lenses. And then after 50, there's some stuff you ought not be chasing no more. My newfound philosophy is from 0 to 50, you live life. Or better yet, you make a living. And 50 and beyond, you live life. Now notice I didn't say quit working. Some of you leave here and say, oh, that preacher, he preached a good one this morning, child. He said, I need to quit working. No, I did not say that. I know how, nowhere insinuated that. There's nothing implied, explicit, or implicit in that statement. I did not say that. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Some of you ain't working no how, so it don't apply. I'm talking about perspective. Paul's in prison and he has a perspective. Are you listening to me? Some of us are free and still don't have a perspective on how to live. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. We'll get there in a few minutes, but perspective defines how you're going to do 2016. Trust me. And you are already on your road to doing 2015 and 2014 and 2013 because you still don't know who you are. That's why the Bible is important.
Yeah, man.
Folk don't know who made them. You will be made something else. God is our creator.
Yeah.
You understand that? God made you.
That's right.
He put himself in you. Therefore, by the mere virtue of being created by God, you have intellect.
Yes.
So you're not stupid.
Right.
Say amen,
amen,
somebody. Amen. You have volition. That's the old Anglican word to say you possess the ability to make decisions. Amen. You have free will. God gave you that. And then God put in you the desire to worship.
That's right.
Amen. Whether you know it or not, God put in everything he made. There's something in every one of us that's there to worship. But we're to worship God. That Satan has Satan subverted that. You ever wonder why you worship your boat? You can't help it. You ever wonder why you bow down to your portfolio? Your very nature worships. Why? God put that in you. But he put that in you so you would worship him. Why would God make you an inanimate object without worshiping? That don't make good nonsense. But you haven't been taught that. That's why you worship him. That's why you worship them and not him. That's why when it comes to your priorities, God really ain't first. Your other God is first. Why? Your nature is to worship. Amen, somebody. And because you don't know who to worship, you have no sense of purpose. Why you think we commit suicide, fratricide, homicide? Amen. What's the other sides? Insecticide. Yeah, we natural born killers.
That's what we do.
I got to quit, but just read your Bible. Why you think Cain killed his brother? Who put that in him? God didn't put that in him. Whenever you move away from God, you're on your way to homicide, suicide, fratricide. And then you got to kill something. That's your life. God didn't put that in you. Whenever you move away from God, whenever you move away from purpose and meaning, you are going to be destructive and self-destructive. And everything you fool with going to be destructed or be destroyed by you. So you got to have meaning. Life is meaning. Quickly, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. And then if you get Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1, then somebody get Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. We'll be through in T-minus 3 minutes and counting. Life is meaningful. And while I'm there, you are an expression right now, right now, of your philosophy of life. Your embodiment, your presence right now, speaks to me and the rest of this world about your philosophy of life. Amen. I don't have time. You ever wonder why God looked at Cain and asked him, why is your countenance falling? We think, why you have to ask how I look? Because that's who you is. We wear our emotions, don't we? Man, if you didn't look like that, you wouldn't have to put all that stuff on there. You wouldn't have to make up. But see, you ain't satisfied. You know, we dye it, dip it, and dry it. We have a perspective about ourselves that ain't realistic. David said, I was young. Now I'm old, yet have I not seen the right. God's not going to forsake you. You ain't got to doctor it up. When you don't know who you are, you got to make yourself presentable for your other gods. But you're not presentable to God. Say amen. I ain't dipping and tucking Nathan. I can't afford it. Then you got to pay for that after. Have you done your research on the after effect? I seen Botox lips. They ain't real. It's a perpetual smile, and it don't even fit the countenance no more. That's why they made it. You know how the Joker looked like the Joker? They made him up to look like that. Meaning. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1.
I therefore
the prisoner of the Lord.
I beseech you
that you do what?
Walk worthy.
The NIV says, live a worthy life according to what? Your calling.
Uh-huh.
I can get ready to quit, but who called you? See, the reason you're doing what you're doing because somebody called.
Yeah.
Amen. Would to God, the word of God was like your cell phone. Some of us can't. We checking it right now. Just checking. Who's calling me? What if you did your Bible like? What if we treated our Bibles like we do our cell phone? You never would leave home without it. Constantly checking the text, and you'd be facing the book. Waiting on a call. ID there. Call out. Come on, people. But you see, we're living out our reality in a an illusion, a delusional world. Some of you lose your cell phone, you lose your mind. You turn around from church, on your way to church, where's my phone? Oh, I got to go back, child. But when it comes to the Bible, and then you're going to tell me about life. Who do you want to be your life coach? You know, you can get a degree in that today. Life, he's a life coach. What if he don't know Jesus? He don't know nothing about life. Because all that matters is Jesus. Paul says, live a life worthy of your calling. Well, I'll leave you there. Think about that. Then point two, life is missional. In other words, everything God made serves a purpose. Drop this now, and you research this. Nothing that he has made outside of humanity has to go and check and do some research on what they're supposed to be doing. No other species in all of creation, and I ain't that smart, but I do watch the Discovery Channel, and I do know how to Google. Fish still swim. Dogs bark, ducks quack. God put that in them. You don't have to tell ants don't carry that. That's what they do. Maybe that's why Solomon told us, thou sluggard. Go and study the ant. You know they work together. They'll carry 3 to 4 times their body weight. I'm going, where he going with that? And every now and then you catch a soldier ant. That's the big black boy. A soldier, I'm just saying. He carrying a big old boulder. And he's by himself. And he ain't got no GPS. He ain't got nobody to ask. He know where to go. He taking it to honey, the queen ant. I'm finna leave this story alone because I don't care too much for this story. But the queen ant. And it's interesting about the queen ant and the queen bee have a tendency to run things. I'm going to leave that alone. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1, quickly. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Look, NIV, and live a life of love. You know, when you love life, you love yourself, you love God, and then you become lovable. You don't have to walk around with love me t-shirts on. We would rather wear, listen, this is no joke, we wear our mental illness. Whenever you have to walk around with be happy, I'm single. I'm taken. You need therapy. Because it's a lack of identity. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
So we got to write out what we're missing. That's our woundedness. Yeah. And the Bible tells you, Jesus says, I came to give you life, Vincent. And to give it to you more abundantly. I came for you so you can have meaning and you can be missional. I don't want you living an empty, aimless life. That ant knows exactly where to take that big old piece of whatever he got. Yeah. You know what he does? Goes back to the ant nest. And he'll pass it on to other workers. And guess what they're doing? They're building a colony. And they are preparing for weather. They know whether it's going to be an El Nino or not. They don't have Dallas rains, you know, with 7,000 HD Doppler. God already told him. Long before it got cold, my horse grew twice the hair. My dogs look like bears. And the cats look like we should skin them and sell their fur. Even nature knows. But man, he just can't get it. You see why you need God?
Yes, sir.
Live a life of love. I don't have time, but 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter says, if you want to see good days and love life, you know, he says, listen, keep yourself from evil. Yeah. And stay away from the ugly and do what's good. God will bless you. I got to quit, but then if you read a little further, he says, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord over the righteous. Look, look.
got to go.
Come on, preacher.
When the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, yeah, that's the picture of his face turned towards you. In the Old Testament, when God looked at what he loved, it was a look of shalom. That's divine favor.
Yeah, yeah.
He ain't talking about having a good day. He ain't even talking about having a good year. Yahweh is saying, have a good eternity.
Yeah.
He's not looking, all you want is a good year. Really? That's a reflection of the bad year you had. Every year has been good. But I didn't know that because I kept looking at the world through the lenses of carnality and not the cross. I got to quit, but that's why Paul says, for me to live is just Christ. And this morning, that's all we have to offer. It's Christ. If you're Christless, hear me now. If you're Christless, and understand what I mean by that. I'm not talking about coming to church. Man, please. We are the church. You can't come to you. You get that on the way to the house. If you're Christless, forget a bad year. You are in crisis. And everything you try to do, it's going to be a crisis. You got that? And I'm not talking about, I'm going to be coming to more Bible classes. You're missing the point. It ain't about the, Paul didn't say for me to live is to get to Bible class. He didn't say for me to live is to get to worship. He didn't say for me to live is to get to church. He said for my life is wrapped up in who he is. And who he is determines where I go and what I do when I get there. So when I get together with other believers, we're going to praise God. Because it's about Christ.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to quit, but no less than 9 times in the book of Philippians does Paul reference his joy. You know, fill up my joy. If there's any joy anywhere, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. Some of y'all can't even rejoice. Let me tell you why. Christless. It's starting to hit me. How in the world could James say in James chapter 1, brothers, count it all
joy
when you what? Where is Paul? I think being incarcerated is a diver's situation.
Yes,
but Paul said in Philippians 4, I have learned in whatever state therewith to find myself to be content. I'm all right if my belly's full. And if it's empty, I'm still all right.
Yeah.
Paul, what's the answer? I can do all things.
Yes. Christ.
Yeah. Look at this now. NIV says, who strengthens. One version says, who empowers. I'm learning. I'm learning to lean.
Come on, man.
That's what I want, son.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because in my leaning, I'm learning to trust God.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
I want you to have, forget a good year, that really?
Wow.
I want you to have a good eternity.
Yeah,
because if it never go your way, it's about Christ.
That's my New Year's sermon for you.
Wow.
And I love you. And that's what I want for you. It's not about a year. Man, it's about eternity. You are children of God.
Yeah,
walk in that.
Yeah.
Live in that. Believe that. And throw away your calendar. Ain't nothing on there going to come to fruition no how if you don't have God.
Come on now.
And when it comes, you're not going to like it. Even if you did win the 9, well, it's how much now? How much is it? I know you already know. See, that was a test. I know you're at 1.3 billion, Brother Hawkins, and that's B with a, that's a B, as in B. I know you know. Because that's the world we live in. And don't think you haven't been sitting around talking about what you could do. You know, you crossed over the Church of Christ line. What would you do if you got that vision? Whispering. Come on. God knows I know and you know. I live in your word. That's what we do. Just the thought of it. But I know you lovely people would never confess that you have thought about what you would do. And then not only did you not think about it, you started getting excited about the thought about it. You see what I just said? I said you got excited about the thought of it.
You ain't even got it. You haven't even bought a ticket, have you? And you already. And now, your prayer request this morning, and we ain't going to honor it, is that God would give you the right numbers. We ain't asking him for that. I know you're praying. Listen, you're praying to a pagan God to ask that God to give you stuff that belonged to the other God. And I'm going to you, really? You ain't got enough. That's right. Ain't but 3 minutes in you. That's right. If you're here, all we have to offer is Jesus Christ. No more, no less. Jesus. You come by faith, repentance, and baptism. Acknowledge that ain't nobody like him. And stand on that. Don't be scared. Stand on to Christ. Believe it with all your heart. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, Acts 2:38, Acts 17:30. Repent. Turn away from how you've been thinking. Turn away from stinking thinking. God got some new stuff for you. Going to have a really good year? You better get Jesus. Amen. And understand that when you get him, it don't get good, it gets better. If you're here, baptism waits you. Getting in the water on a new year means nothing if it's not about Jesus. The water grave of baptism are for those folk who recognize they need Jesus. It only matters then. He'll wash all your sins away, fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you will need the third person of the Godhead. And then you can begin to live. Life will take on new meaning. You understand that? You will become missional. In other words, your ministry, your life now is your ministry. You can go on and be a banker, but you're going to be a Christian banker. Say amen. Say amen. Yeah, you're going to stop clocking in, you know, late and writing in on time. What's the difference? Jesus. Yeah, you're going to stop cussing out everybody. Well, what changed that? Jesus. You're going to even get to Bible class on time in 2016. Who did that? You'd better know it's Jesus. Say amen. You understand where I'm going? Other than that, you're going to keep doing you.
That's right.
Amen. You're going to do you because that's you and that's just me. Well, you got what you get and you get what you got. And so congratulate yourself because that's you. And you know what God do? You know what God will do? He'll leave you and y'all alone. And don't think, listen, don't think by mere virtue of God. God don't need Vincent, really. For what? And some of us need, no, there ain't a church on the planet need you. God don't need you. What God needs is disciples, servants, whom he can call. But, you know, we really stuck on ourselves, aren't we? You going to change that in 2016 or you going to be the same? Let's quit. For me to live. You fill in the blank. I want it to be Christ. I want my movement across the planet to be Christ-centered. It's been Vincent-centered for too long. I move off of what I feel and what I think. I've been moving based on what's best for Vincent. Paul says, for me to live, it's not Paul. It's Christ. And so I'll close with this. Ask not what the church can do for you, but ask rather, what can I do for the church? Ask not what Christ can do for me. Ask, what can I do for Christ? And trust me, not only will you have a great 2016, you will have a great eternity. If you're here and you need to respond, come right now. This is your message from me to you.